Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, the Spirit will make intercession right now with groanings which cannot be uttered. Come on, your heart has something it wants to say to God. Why don't you open up your heart and say what you feel in that heavenly language? Let the Spirit speak. Come on, speak those things that you don't even know what to say. Let the wellspring of living water spring up into everlasting life. Come on, there are fountains of living water springing up all over the house right now. This is the water that fills the house, that flows over into the city. There's something flowing over into your community right now. There's something flowing over into your family right now. We have somebody over here speaking in tongues for the first time. Come on, that's a reason to shout tonight. I'm telling you, what we feel in this place is creating a stirring in the spirit world. Praise God. Come on, one more time. Why don't you give God a hand clap of praise tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God, it's not on moments like this where the Holy Ghost moves and God does things that we can't even understand. This is the kind of atmosphere where people's lives are changed, where destinies are altered. I'm telling you, that's why we come to the house of God, because we never know what God is going to do. Praise God. How many of you are thankful for moments just like this when your life was changed? Praise God. I want some men to go over really quickly and lay hands on Brother Matt Wood and pray for him. He has some things happening in his body right now, but I believe that God can touch him in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Come on, church, pray. In the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, it's on a night like tonight that the prognosis can be reversed. In the name of Jesus, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. If you believe the answer is on the way, why don't you go ahead and give God a shout of praise? Clap your hands, all you people, and shout to God with a voice of triumph. Praise God. Praise God. It is so good to be in the house of God one more time. If you're a guest in the house, we are so thankful to have you. If you're listening or watching online for the first time, we are so thankful that you're listening. And why don't we give all of our guests a hand clap? The ones we see, the ones we are anticipating, are watching and listening with us. Praise God. It's another good day in the house of God. Ministry's happening all over the house today. Praise God. We had moves of God in Sunday school classes and in youth classes today and in the service today. And I'm just thankful for what I feel in the presence of God. And I believe that something dynamic can happen before we leave tonight. Praise God. How many of you are expecting God to speak to your heart and mind and spirit tonight? Praise God. We're going to be in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 again. The bishop is traveling. He's in Apopka, Florida today. I talked to him earlier, and they're having good church. And he sold out of Bible study outlines today there in Apopka. And praise God. I'm just telling you, he had a seminar yesterday about Bible studies. And I just believe that a signature from this church and this ministry is moving there in that church and in that congregation. And I'm believing that we're going to hear testimonies of people being saved, coming into the faith, receiving Bible study, revival happening in Apopka. Brother Jermaine's preaching in Tennessee today and tonight. And it's just awesome to be a part of a church where ministry is just going forth all over the place. Praise God. Praise God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans 1 and 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. For in the gospel, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as the word is preached, as it is declared, as it is taught. It goes forth from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Praise God. We talked today about the difference in the giant that falls in the moment and the mountain that falls as we walk around it day after day. How many of you today, you were thinking about some things you're just going to keep faithfully walking around? Praise God. I'm telling you, some things are going to fall. I really believe that in the Holy Ghost today. But that's how it goes forth in teaching and in preaching. And the just are going to live by faith. They walk around it over and over again. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they did not acknowledge God, they didn't give him glory, they knew him, they had some comprehension. John 1 says it was the light that lighteth every man that enters into the world. So we're born with the spark of God in us, a knowledge, a conscience, awareness of God. Even the atheist and the agnostic is aware of God. But when they knew God, to whatever degree they did know him, they did not give him glory. Neither were thankful. They didn't give thanksgiving. The knowledge, I'm just telling you, faith engages with our knowledge, with what we know about God, and it says, I'm going to give thanksgiving to him. I don't know everything there is to know about God, but tonight I came to thank him for what I do know, because I believe that if I give him thanks and I give him glory, he's going to give me more revelation and more knowledge, and then I'll have a higher understanding. And as that happens, my life will begin to be lifted and edified, exalted. But they weren't thankful. They didn't give him thanksgiving or glory, but became vain in their imaginations. No humility, and their foolish heart was darkened. No light. They had a light. They had a spark. But because they didn't glorify and honor God, the light went out on the inside. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So they had no wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. What I know, I apply. And as I do that, then my life is elevated. But if I don't do that, then in all of my wisdom and in all of my getting it without application, I become a fool. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. So they had no oneness of God, no fidelity to God. And because of that, they started making images of God, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through their lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, because they didn't apply the word of God. They changed the truth of God, the truth that they knew of God, into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. This is why we see happening in the world today the things that are happening. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. You may, probably a lot of places you tune in tonight, you're not going to hear preaching like this, but this is what happens in a place where people don't give God the, I'm just telling you what you felt when the praise team started singing, tonight is the glory of God. And when we begin to magnify God, all of the darkness in the place begins to be pushed out. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Homosexuality and lesbianism is all a result of not glorifying God and not being thankful and not edifying God and not embodying oneness in our walk, in our life. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Their mind began to be changed and modified, their way of thinking, their logic. I'm just telling you, we're dealing with people today that their mind is reprobate. A lot of times you're like, what are they thinking? Why are they acting like that? It's because their mind is reprobate to do those things which are not convenient. They're filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness, full of envy and murder and debate and deceit and malignity and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Praise God. I'm going to give you a different title. I'm giving a title tonight that will not make sense. I guarantee it will not make sense. As a matter of fact, some English teachers will not like my title tonight. I want to preach on this subject, the emergence of nuns. Not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E-S. The emergence of nuns. Put your Bible down and let's talk to God for just a moment. God, we thank you for your presence, God. We can't do this without you. None of us can, God. We can't even walk without you, God. We can't talk without you. We don't know the way, God. But we are so thankful for your presence that is here. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would sweep over this house tonight by your great spirit, that you would touch every home, every life, every family, God. Give us revelation. Give us understanding. Give us knowledge, oh God. I pray that you would break the back of the adversary, God. I pray that you would bring a revival like we've never seen before, God. I pray that you would unstop deaf ears and you would open blind eyes, God. And you would unloose the prisoner in the name of Jesus. Come on, why don't, one more time, why don't you thank him and praise him and magnify him and exalt his name. We love you, we love you, we love you, Jesus. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of God. High five somebody and tell them I'm so glad to see you in God's house tonight. Praise God. Last week I made a pilgrimage that I make on a pretty regular basis. I made my, I don't know, weekly, maybe bi-weekly sometimes, trek over to Books A Million bookstore. How many readers in the house? How many like to read? How many like Books A Million? Y'all looking at me crazy. Y'all probably buy your books on Amazon. That's the way you do it. But I'm just one of those people that when I get a thought or I get an idea, I have to go and pursue it. I have to go and chase it down. And I want to get the book. As a matter of fact, while I was studying today, I was at the church. I ran over there to see if they had a book. And they didn't have it. A lot of times they don't have the books that I'm looking for anymore. The guy there tells me that. He said, you have interesting thoughts. You're always wanting books that we don't have. And that's true. But I made a pilgrimage over to Books A Million. I have been making that trek, I don't know how many years, 15, 20 years. I have frequented, as a matter of fact, when I was doing route work, I would travel around the city of Birmingham. I worked about a 30-mile radius of the city of Birmingham. So I would go literally north, south, west, east, and in every direction in between, connecting interstates. And I have a grid in my mind, a map. But I would travel around the city of Birmingham, and I would, if I passed a thrift store, I had to stop. How many of you have that? You have that on you. When you pass a thrift shop or a consignment shop, you have to stop and just see what's happening. right? You think it may be in that place you find the treasure, the thing you've been looking for. And there's some books that I'm looking for. I'm always looking for them. So I like bookstores, but I went in Books A Million this last week, and I've been doing this for a long time. I like to read, and I like to pursue knowledge. And as a matter of fact, my fifth grade teacher, I didn't really apply myself like I should, but she knew that I liked to read, and so she would incentivize me doing my work by allowing me, if I did my homework or if I did my work, she would allow me to go and pick a book out of her bookstore and go hide under her desk while she was working elsewhere, and I would hide under the teacher's desk and read. I love to read, but I was there this week, and I was looking. You know, you have a place in the bookstore that you like to go, and so I went to the place where I normally go, and I'm standing in front of the bookshelf, and you know, if you don't pay attention to what's happening in your world, you will miss things. How many of you like to drive down the road and you glance down at your phone periodically and you take your eyes off the road and you look up and you miss something? Has any of it happened to anybody? Nobody wants to admit it. It's all right. You see people all the time, they go to Target, they're walking through the aisles at Target and they're on their phone and you're thinking, we're about to collide. You have no idea. Or people that they're talking to somebody like this and they're walking in this direction and they don't realize they're about to run into somebody. But if you don't pay attention, some things are happening in your world that you don't even realize. So I'm standing in front of this book section that I have been to probably for 15 or 20 years, over and over and over again. And something caught my attention, and I saw something in front of me that didn't make sense. It didn't quite compute. And so so I'm standing there in front of the section entitled Personal Growth, and I stopped short. Now, I've been standing in front of that section many times. This is the place where you might find a book by Viktor Frankl called Man's Search for Meaning, or you might find a book by Jordan Peterson called The 12 Rules for Life, or you might find a book by Stephen Covey called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. How many of you are familiar with those books? This is the section where you might find that list of books, and that's pretty popular in our culture. And so I'm standing in front of this section, and I notice something. Now, maybe somebody here has noticed this. How many of you have been standing in front of that section at Books A Million recently and you noticed a change? Okay, maybe it was inspired by the Holy Ghost. That section in the bookstore used to be almost an entire row of books. You used to be able to stand in front of that section and just see book section after section after section of books. Well, now I'm standing there and I notice it stood out to me. It stood out to me so much that I'm looking at it, and I took a picture of it with my phone. Something is not right about the way that this section of books is set up. So I'm looking around at the sections opposed to that section, and I noticed that there was another section of books that was opposite that section of books. That's a section called Body, Mind, and Spirit. Anybody ever heard of Body, Mind, and Spirit? Yeah, and that section was almost double the section that I was looking at. Now, again, this is a subtle difference, but something has shifted in the culture. And so I take a picture of that section, I take a picture of this section, and I'm scratching my brain. Now, my brain is kind of strange. I find loose connections, and you might think, well, that's just a loose connection. But let me tell you what happened next. So I took those pictures, and I'm trying to figure out. Now, first of all, how many of you know what kind of books are in the body, mind, and spirit section? Anybody? Yeah, Andrew, you know what books are in the body, mind, and spirit section, don't you? Yeah. They're not the best books, especially if you're an apostolic. Now, you might think that's a harmless observation, but I stood there, and then I decided, this is what I always do when I need to figure something out. I went over to the coffee section. That's where you go to really clear the air. That's where you go. That's what you do first thing in the morning. You go over to the coffee pot when you have all the cobwebs in your brain. And so I started walking toward the coffee section. I ordered a coffee, and I kind of looked over at the section of newspapers sitting over on the side. Now, how many of you millennials know what a newspaper is? How many of you read the newspaper? Yeah, a lot fewer hands. Good for you. Good for you. Still reading the good old newspaper. I'm trying to figure out what in the world is happening right now. That body, mind, and spirit section is not a good section. I'm going to tell you more about it here in a minute. But let me first tell you about what I saw in the newspaper. Because that personal growth section is normally filled with books that are embedded with knowledge that we consider to be biblical knowledge. It's biblical principles. Like, seek first to understand and then to be understood. It's principles that allow you to enhance relationships. That's where you would find books on building your marriage and those types of things. But just in the last, I'm telling you, in the last probably 4 to 6 months in the public library in Trustville, in the bookstore in Trustville, that section has shrunk considerably. Something has happened in the middle of COVID that has shifted the perspective of the people buying the books. Now, the people buying the books are buying the books to sell them, which means they are using a complicated analytics software to determine what they think you might buy or what you might be interested in. So that body, mind, and spirit section is now growing larger, and that personal growth section is now growing smaller because they are analyzing what people are interested in based on all kinds of metrics by using search engines on the internet to know what people are searching for. Now, I'm standing there, I'm ordering my coffee. It's all going to get clear because I'm sipping on a cup of coffee now. And this is what the USA Today headline said while I was standing there. Millions giving up organized religion. America's fast-growing movement, : the nuns, the N-O-N-E-S. That's my title, The Emergence of the Nuns, right? Grammatically incorrect. We don't use that word as a noun. But the USA Today did, so I decided to do it. Millions giving up on organized religion. America's fastest growing movement, the nuns. Mom and Dad, by the time we're done tonight, you're going to have a lot of revelation about what's happening with your kids. There are ex-missionaries and military pilots, yoga instructors and computer programmers, mothers, fathers, professors, and political activists. Some left religion on a rocky, anguished path, stung by the abuse or shunned by family. Others came to their conclusion slowly after a lifetime of questions they couldn't shake. Jay Brown was the missionary raised in a small town, Iowa. He traveled the world spreading the Lord's gospel until 2 years ago when he realized that he was an atheist. Pause. You're in real trouble if the guy preaching the word of God to you realizes in the middle of preaching after he's been doing it for a number of years that he doesn't even believe in God. You should have had a cue a long time ago. Anyway, I digress. He had questions that he could not shake. He realized, I'm an atheist. Didn't even know who he was. He's preaching the gospel. The epiphany almost tore apart his marriage, but the family has persevered. Now Brown says he finds meaning in being a good father and husband and helping others. Zalman Newfield, a sociology professor from Hoboken, New Jersey, left his ultra-Orthodox Jewish upbringing years ago but still holds tight to the traditions of his childhood. Each week he gathers his two young daughters to study the Torah, the first 5 books of the Hebrew Bible. They are 2 travelers among many. Is it all right if we read the newspaper tonight? Good. We're going to read it. And one of the fastest growing movements in America, the nuns, people whose relationship with institutionalized religion can be best described as none or nothing. In a country founded on tales of devout worship, willing to risk everything for religious freedom, from Puritans to Quakers to Mormons, surveys say that the nuns now account for about 1 in 4 Americans. 25% of Americans are what they consider to be nuns. Just as interesting as the exodus is what is replacing organized religion in people's lives, a more personal, often hard to define, spirituality and search for meaning. This can manifest as a devotion to nature, meditation, yoga, or political activism, among other things. They're leaving religion, and they're going to politics, and they're going to activism, and they're going to yoga. Hey, mama, yoga is not harmless. Yoga is a religion. Yoga is a spiritual experience. It's not harmless. Well, it's kind of old school tonight, isn't it? Well, and this is political activism. This is Black Lives Matter. This is those types of organizations. As we found out, as preachers were tweeting and retweeting, Black Lives Matter, because everybody in the world was tweeting about it and getting excited about it, there was a spirit. Now we know that there was a spirit driving it that was trying to tear apart the nuclear home and the nuclear family, and that was an anti-God system, but everybody got on board with it. I'm telling you, there's more than just a little benign trend happening in the world today. While atheism is growing in America, many of the nuns tell pollsters they still believe in a higher power or even the biblical God, but on their own terms, not those of a preacher, not those of a rabbi, not those of an imam. Ryan Burge, a Southern Baptist minister, began pastoring a small church in Mount Vernon, Illinois in 2006 while he was completing his graduate studies in political science. Within a decade, he said, my church went from having about 50 people in the pews to just over 20. What was happening in American religion was also happening right in front of me in my church. As many as 70 million American adults now identify as nuns, he said. Their numbers rose steadily from the 1970s onward and then accelerated in the new century, leaping from 17% of the population in 2009 to 26% in 2019, according to a Pew Center research poll. Spirituality, a connection to a power greater than yourself, has become the substitute for religion, said Linda Mercande, a retired theology professor at the Methodist Theological School in Ohio. America has a long religious heritage, so it won't be thrown out soon. Instead, it will be replaced by a more vague spirituality, she said. A lot of people won't say the word God because that's not popular, but they will say universe. There's no one explanation for why people are fleeing organized faith. The nuns themselves offer myriad reasons, including abusive experiences with religious communities, doubts about doctrine, disagreements with church leaders, or the rigorous demands of a devout lifestyle. As the church has neutered its message, people are uninterested in continuing to participate. Others say a trend toward delaying marriage and having children has decreased devotion to organized religion. They want to relate to God in the way that they want, not by following a church's rules, he said. But many have left churches, temples, and mosques. They haven't abandoned spiritual life altogether. Many people in my classes say to me, this is my temple or my spiritual home, said Charlotte Chandelier Stone, a yoga therapist and director at Stone Yoga in Teaneck, New Jersey. They say they get more from yoga than sitting on a church pew saying prayers that they don't believe in. It helps them to get in touch with themselves and understand their purpose on the earth. The coronavirus pandemic may have accelerated this trend, experts say. People haven't been able to show up to church in person for much of the pandemic, said Mercante. While many have attended virtually, for others, the habit of church has been broken. Although the number of Republican nuns has also been rising, those shifting away from organized faith tend to be liberal and more heavily Democrat. By the way, this is not a political conversation. It follows into social issues as well. Nuns tend to support gay rights and abortion rights. A lack of religious affiliation also seems to be an indicator on their involvement in civic activities, said Green. As older, more religious generations are replaced by younger ones, the U.S. could eventually look as secularized as Europe, with nuns dwarfing any single religious group, he said. The nuns represent an entirely new way of thinking about American social society, said Burge, the Illinois pastor and researcher. They will create organizations and institutions we've never seen before or even considered. There are already atheist groups forming to engage in social services in their local community, and I think that this is just the beginning. One thing is certain. We need to get used to the nuns and their practices. They aren't going anywhere, and some believe that in the coming years, they may even dominate the cultural landscape. I missed some statistics in here that say that they could actually be up to 50% in the next 10 years of the population. I've also missed a statistic in here that says that 49% of people in the United States no longer profess to be Christian. So the whole idea that the United States is a Christian nation is now a farce. What is all of that about? All of that is about the idea that there is an emerging reality in our culture, Brother Ben. And this is what's been happening in pulpits all across the country. They have displaced the pulpit. They've taken the pulpit out of the church. They've neutered the Word of God. They've taken the Word of God page by page. And they've said, we cannot preach the exclusivity of the Word of God. We cannot preach the exclusivity of doctrine. We can't preach that you still have to come to church to be. As a matter of fact, this is pressing its way into apostolic circles even now because of coronavirus and because of COVID-19. There are people who say you don't have to come to church to be saved. But the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even more as you see the day approaching. That verse is not a suggestion. That verse is a command. You want to know why there's erosion happening in our culture today? Because pulpits have been cherry-picking scripture and taking it out. Let me ask you a question, Brother Ben. Open the book for me. Open the book for me. This is what the world is trying to tell us. There's a generation rising up that's trying to tell us you can't preach an exclusive doctrine anymore. You can't preach an exclusive message anymore. There's a world that's telling us we've got to go from two services on Sunday to one service on Sunday because they say people won't come to church on Sunday night anymore. I just need to ask this generation, are you ready to start ripping stuff out of the commandment? Are you ready to start tearing pages out of the Word of God? Are you ready to start neutering what we preach? Because a world has fallen out of love with God and out of love with the glory. Somebody's going to have to be willing to rip the pages out. Somebody's going to have to be willing to get four guys to come and carry the pulpit out. But it's not a day to take the pulpit off of the stage. It's not a day to... They want to take Deuteronomy 6 and 4 out of the Bible. They want to take the Shema out of the Bible. There are people, that's what happened in the Reformation, because it looked better and it was smarter and it didn't have all the shouting and it didn't have all the holy rolling and it didn't have all the quaking and it didn't have all the tongue talking. So they tried to neuter the message, Brother Ben, but they didn't know that hundreds of years later the Bible would be so reduced that it wouldn't have any power. And it wouldn't have any authority, and it wouldn't have any anointing. And there's pressure on us today to change what we preach. There's pressure on us today to change what we believe. I just need to know, is there a generation? Are you ready, Ben, to get four strong men and take the pulpit out of the church? Or have you made up your mind, I'm going to stand in front of the pulpit. I'm going to defend the faith of the Word of God. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar.
Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long suffering.
It's a message of ecumenicalism. It's a message that has lost the glory. It's a generation that has reduced living to God down to just a country club experience. When they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God. They were not thankful. It's a generation that doesn't respect authority. It doesn't respect the office of the president, Democrat or Republican. It makes memes to dishonor a man in an office. It's not funny. There are some things that are not funny. There are some things that are sacrosanct. There are some things that you don't touch. Touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. There's got to be a place, Brother Ben, where this generation falls in love with the man of God. There's got to be a place where this generation falls in love with authority. There's got to be a place where you say, I will not allow you to tamper with what I believe. I understand that this is guarding some precious things. A generation of nuns. It's not grammatically correct, but no glory, no anointing, no thankfulness. It's crazy, but you have to get a little bit older sometimes to understand how incredibly blessed you are. Sometimes you have to just get some experience under your belt to understand what an incredible sacrifice it was, Brother Bert, to spend all the time in medical school. To understand what an incredible sacrifice it was to build a church in the city of Birmingham. To understand what it took for my mom and dad to leave everything they knew, mother, father, brother, sister, country, kindred, and to follow a dream. Sometimes you gotta get a little bit older to understand what it cost to get us to where we are. But I'm just telling you, there has to be some things that are sacrosanct in our life. We have to have some places that we don't allow anybody to joke about. I'm just telling you, marriage is not a joke. It's a covenant before God. My wife is not someone to deride in a group setting at work. There are some things still we don't touch. The house of God is still a holy place. That book is still a holy book. Our God is a holy God. And when we come into the house of God, there has to be something on the inside of us that says, I know the world is selling everything so cheap, but I love this. I love this book. I love this message. I love this way. I'm thankful today. I'm thankful for the people of God in my life. I'm thankful for the church of the living God. I'm thankful for a lifestyle of holiness. My holiness is not something I consider to, listen to me. We could change three or four things about this church today, and immediately we would double. You understand what I'm saying? Immediately we would have a bigger crowd. But holiness, inside and out, is not something to be flippant about. I want to win the world. I want to save my family. But when they get to the house of God, is it going to be a place of power? Is it going to be a place of demonstration? Is it going to be a place where the miraculous happens? Is it going to be a place where the glory of God comes? Or is it going to be another country club experience? Is it going to be a place where when the word of God goes forth, that it returns to us with everything that it went out to do? Because He said, my word will not return void. It'll go out and accomplish everything that I sent it to do. But when we take the pages out, when we begin to reduce it all It has no power. It has no glory. It has no wonder. I'm telling you, what's happening in our world right now, there is an erosion that's coming to this culture. I'm not a doomsday prophet, but I'm telling you, there is an erosion that is coming to our culture. In the next 10 years, it is going to get very dark in America. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to mess with your mind or anything like that. I'm not being hyperbolic tonight. But let me tell you what's on that shelf that's doubled at Books a Million and Trustful in the Bible Belt. Tarot cards, books on the occult, oracles, worship of the human body, becoming one with nature, witchcraft, sorcery. I'm telling you, literal words that are on the spines of the books. Witchcraft, sorcery, yoga, which, by the way, literally means one or yoked together. It is a religious experience. Wiccan, crystal energy, astrology, psychic activity, the paranormal, black arts, spells, magic, signs, mediums, witches, warlocks, vampires, plants and herbs, Hinduism, Buddhism, Eastern meditation, African goddess meditation, a new earth, new age, ghosts, the DNA of gods. That's your Books a Million. And it is now, according to the people who are purchasing books, double the demand of how to win friends and influence people. How to be a good neighbor. How to be a good husband. I'm telling you, your world is about to get dark. But if you're not paying attention, Mom, you're walking through Target on your cell phone, and you've got your grocery list. If you're not paying attention, Dad, you're more worried about whether Alabama won or lost yesterday than what's happening in the home. And your world is changing. Why are apostolic kids losing their mind? Why are we talking about depression and anxiety? Because the pressure in the 80s and 90s was atheism and agnosticism and Western thought and reason and logic and objectivity. That's what happened. That's what we were talking about. The liberal professor was talking about, yeah, it's about logic, you know. We're going to take God out of the equation. We're going to separate church and state. We're going to take prayer out of schools. And it seemed pretty harmless and pretty innocent. And into that vacuum, because nature hates a vacuum, into that vacuum, you would say, well, no, look at the progress we made since the Enlightenment. Look at how much we've progressed since we put all of this focus on logic and reason and objectivity. Yeah, give it enough time. This is an experiment. The American culture is an experiment. The American experience is an experiment. But when you create that vacuum, something is going to come in to the vacuum. And what comes into the vacuum, because man must have a God, something is going to fill the vacuum. And I'm just telling you, with all of this COVID business, and listen, I'll be the first, you already heard me, I've had a conversation about the vaccine. I personally got the vaccine. I've already told you that. You do what's best for you. Consult your doctor. All of that stuff. I'm trying to exercise wisdom. The bishop's trying to exercise wisdom. We're having this conversation. But let me tell you something. This virus and what is happening in the world is an attempt to push a giant reset button. And it is happening. And that's a fact. And the way that it's manifesting in our culture, it's manifesting in this thing that I'm talking about. Because you've got kids, they have algorithms online, and you have kids that are getting online, and they're trying to find meaning in life because they did not find it in their religion. They did not find it in their mom and dad's church experience. And into that vacuum has come Eastern religion and spiritism and spiritual activity. And I'm just telling you, that will bear fruit. We're just seeing the beginning of it. It's going to produce children. It's going to produce children, multiple generations of kids that have been ingesting those things. It's happening in our world right now. The emergence of nuns. No God, no authority. Defund the police. All of that business is anti-God. Every bit of that is anti-God. And this is what it wants us to do. Brother Micah, it wants us to silence the intercessor. We've got to silence the intercessor. We have to kill off the intercession. Because when Zion travails, she brings forth her children. I'm just telling you, if I could show you in the spirit world right now, that spirit wants to choke out the voice of intercession. It wants to silence the pulpit in every instance that it can. It wants to neuter the word of God because it knows if I can silence the pulpit and if I can silence the intercessor, then I can make my way into the youth group. And what follows is darkness and anxiety and depression. And right now, the biggest medical crisis the world is facing is not COVID. It's anxiety and depression and suicide. It's not COVID. I talked to this church a couple of weeks ago about what's happening in California with their school curriculum. You guys remember that conversation? I had people that were incredulous. And I don't blame you. I understand what millennials do whenever we're having that kind of conversation. I remember the same pushback when we were talking about Frozen. And we were talking about the lesbian nature of that spirit that was embedded in the movie. I remember the same resistance. It's normal. I understand it. But I had people snoping the conversation. Now, how many of you adults know what snoping is? Snoping is a fact-checking site that is run by liberals, and most of their objective is to attack conservative messages. But they feign as objective. Now, I'm not saying there isn't some objectivity to them. But we're sitting in an apostolic service, and an apostolic preacher is preaching, and people are snoping what he's saying because they say, that sounds like hogwash. That sounds like a farce. Well, number one, while that fact-checking was happening, you know what the indictment was against one of the guys that was running Snopes? Is that he was being investigated for widespread plagiarism. And they have uncovered the fact that most of the articles that he was writing, he was cutting and pasting from other sites. Millennials, that's your information. There you go. That's what Snopes is. That's journalism, right? But since then, not only is that curriculum in place in California, but there have been a number of lawsuits already from parents who were saying, how in the world can you be teaching our kids the ancient chants of Aztec worship and rituals and having them say them in the classroom while clapping their hands? How can you do that? And for the most part, those lawsuits have fallen on deaf ears. That's the world that we're living in. Thank God tonight for apostolic education. I'm just telling you, thank God for an elementary and a middle and a high school. Thank God for people who are holding up the stand and who are saying, no, not on our watch, not in our day, not our babies. No, they're too precious. They're too sacred. They're too important. That's where we are today. That's the world that we're living in. And I didn't come to depress anybody or to stress anybody out. I came to uncover a lie tonight. I came to preach the truth. I came to prophesy to this generation. Paul said, let me just preface all of this for you. Let me tell you how we fight against this. Sam, you can go ahead and come. He said, this is the deal, guys. This, all this homosexuality and all this lesbianism and all this perversion is a problem. And this is the reason why it happens. But he said, first of all, let me say this. He's addressing the church at Rome. By the way, if you want to have a conversation about the Roman road to salvation, start in Romans chapter 1. Don't start in the later chapters. Because this is the context of the later verses about grace. But he starts the conversation by saying, let me just say this first. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you. What does that mean? It means I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for the people of God. Because you, the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And Paul said, church at Rome, I'm teaching you all of this so that you understand what's happening in your world. All of this is not new. It's not novel. And he said, I'm thankful for you. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You are that standard. And then he says, and I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. What does that mean? That means that there is a bulwark. That means that there is an institution. That means that there is an infrastructure. That means that there is a plan that God has to stop the erosion. And it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is every page of the Word of God. There's a movement afoot out there to try to get us to take 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 out of the Word of God, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. But I wonder if there's a young person tonight that would say, no, not in my generation. Not in my day, not on my watch. I'm going to hold up the Word of God. I'm going to esteem it like my very life. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in the heavens. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word shall not pass away. There may be pressure at some point. Let's change the lights. Let's get some colored lights. Let's get some smoke. Because if we don't have the glory, we have to mimic the glory. Sister Jamara, it's a lot easier to set the stage up in a way to where it looks like there's glory than it is to have a prayer life and a fasting life. Praise God. But there are some things that we don't negotiate. We're not negotiating away the glory. We're not negotiating away the power. We're not negotiating away the demonstration. I'm just telling you, before God comes back, I believe that he's going to do some things in terms of demonstration that he's never done before. But there has to be a generation that stands up and says, no, the erosion is not happening in my life. The erosion is not happening on my watch. I'm just telling you, God is looking for some young people who say, no, I know the world is walking away from church. I know they're walking walking away from fidelity to the Word of God. I know they're walking away from the doctrine, but I'm going to be like Timothy. I'm going to be instant in season and out of season. Come on, is there a generation tonight that says, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to uphold the standard. I'm going to fall in love with the Word of God. Come on, somebody come to the front tonight. There's a call in this place tonight. There's a compelling of the Spirit to respond to what the Word of God is saying. Come on, why don't you come to the front tonight? Why don't you come to the front tonight? Why don't you respond to the Word of God? The compelling of the Spirit, the drawing of the Holy Ghost in this place to be something in the kingdom of God, to resist the overflowing scourge that's sweeping across this nation. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I feel the spirit of travail in this place.
We put our faith in you, Jesus. We put our trust in you, Lord.
Lord, we will wait. against the darkness right now. Push back against the darkness right now.
Intercession right now. We're not going to hide intercession behind music for just a moment. Come on. I'm preaching to young people that have been trying to find peace in meditation. It's time to throw that garbage out of your life and learn how to cry out to God. Come on, we're not moving on. I'm telling you, there's a travail that hadn't broken out yet.
Come on, when Jesus was at Gethsemane, he sweated as though they were great drops of blood. I'm just telling you, when he prayed for Peter, he was an intercessor. Come on, I'm not worried about what my world thinks about me. I'm not worried about what they say about me. I want the glory of God in my life. I want the holiness of God in my family. Come on, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage.